You ready to check your feelings at the door?
Check it out.
This is Am I Reister or Am I Wrong? We're bringing you facts and only the truth. Now, Am I Reister or Am I Wrong?
NFL coaches are out of jobs. It is Black Monday, but we're not going to call it that. This is Coach Firing Day, because every day is a Black Monday for me. Every Monday is a Black Monday. The national championship is today. Chargers versus Raiders last night. I can't wait to see what the ratings were on that game. It was absolutely outrageous. And should there be term limits, an actual contract for people in government for the promises that they make? I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amsden. And this is Reister or Wrong, the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. All right, we'll start. There have been multiple firings today, Ralph, in the NFL. We have had Dave Gettleman, who announced his retirement as president and general manager of the New York Giants. You've had Matt Nagy fired over there in Chicago. Ryan Pace, their general manager, got fired. You've had Minnesota Vikings fire both Mike Zimmer and their general manager, Rick Spielman. You've had, those are the coaches that are out so far. And And Brian Flores. Brian Flores, head coach of the Miami Dolphins. That one, to me, made zero sense, Ralph. This man has won 19 games over the last two seasons, including 8 of his last 9 games. Are you kidding me? And he beat Bill Belichick twice. And the fact that this man gets fired is absolute insanity to me. And people wonder why Black coaches feel like they don't get a fair shake. How does this man get fired with a winning record? It's not like he has elite quarterback play. He had to have Tua for Deshaun Watson rumors hanging over Tua all season. And then he manages to bring this team up from the ashes. Come on, man. This is outrageous.
I agree with you. It definitely feels like he had an incredibly short leash. I'm hearing reasons and rumors come out about just a general unlikability, inability to get along with people.
Well, I noticed like coaches that. And players like him.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know what to say here. It's it's very odd. I think the Miami Dolphins like to be cellar dwellers. I just think they do. You can base it off of everything that they've done since Dan Marino retired. Almost every single thing that they've done, it just feels head scratching. And so much of it comes down to the decisions that they make when it comes to the quarterback position. They've had to watch Ryan Tannehill have success in Tennessee, not only last year when I felt that he was an MVP candidate, but this year when the Tennessee Titans set a record for the most players activated on a roster in a single season. Didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver, didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher. Ryan Tannehill leads them to the playoffs again. They had to watch the
maturation. The one seed.
Right. They get a bye. The one thing that Ryan Tannehill and the Miami Dolphins have in common is they are not playing this week.
Yep.
For two very different reasons. But so they've had to watch the maturation of Ryan Tannehill all the while trying to develop Tua, who I believe is a good quarterback. I believe he's who you think Tyler Huntley is. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a guy that you can build around. And they have had success on the defensive side of the ball. They did not have the elevation that the Buffalo Bills did. The Buffalo Bills over the last 3 years, 11-1 inside their
own division. Well, one of them has a top 6-7 quarterback who's an MVP candidate, and the other one has an average quarterback, because Tua is a guy, like you said, you can build around him and you can win, but he's not special.
Right. They've used early picks on the offensive line. I feel like they've built that defense up. They've had some success. They look like they are on the right track. And then all of a sudden, Brian Flores is one of those guys that gets cut loose. And it seems like this happens every other year where there is a black head coach in the NFL that doesn't get the opportunity to sink or swim the same way that a lot of white head coaches do.
I can forgive this if he immediately gets another head coaching job. Like, I can forgive this as far as the league goes if he immediately gets another head coaching job. Because remember, Adam Gase was terrible. Adam Gase was terrible. I mean, send him up to Minnesota. Minnesota.
But my issue is...
So the Raiders. Oh, my God. You put him on the Raiders?
Well, the Raiders might work. The Raiders might work because they're in a situation right now where they need a kick in the ass. They need some discipline. They've had multiple players arrested, multiple players kicked off the team. One of them sitting in house arrest right now for getting somebody killed for driving drunk. I think they would actually crave and welcome that discipline to help take them to the next level. But they might end up hanging on to their interim coach if they continue
to have success. Which would not be unreasonable.
Yeah. My problem is when a franchise is put in a situation where they have to justify the move that they made, stuff is going to come out that is not flattering to Brian Flores and is going to hurt his ability to get another job. I don't think that the Miami Dolphins are going to take the classy route here and help him get on his way. You're already seeing stuff come out about how he can't get along with the GM. So what, a GM supposed to come along and say like, oh, I want to make my life harder and hire Brian Flores. Like, I don't see it happening, and that's what's really frustrating to me, is unless Brian Flores goes back to the Nick Saban School of Rehab or goes back and gets on Belichick's staff again.
How do you possibly need rehab after 19 wins in two seasons? How is that possible that you need the Nick Saban rehab tour? That's the part that's insanity, bro. You have so many head coaches rehired immediately without a Nick Saban tour. I mean... It's Adam Gase got immediately rehired and he's a saboteur. If somebody doesn't, so Byron Leftwich should get the Jaguars job or Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell should get a job somewhere. Brian Flores, this should be the most black head coaches ever hired in a coaching cycle. Because
we're 2 years off of Marvin Lewis being the runner-up for the Dallas Cowboys job.
He wasn't the runner-up. He wasn't the runner-up. He was a shill of an interview. They weren't going to hire him. He was going to hire Mike McCarthy the entire time. That's who he had his eye on. That's who he was hiring.
So do you think Marvin Lewis gets back into into at least the interview cycle?
Of course, because of the Rooney Rule, and now they have to bring in two minority candidates. So Marvin Lewis is going to get like 20 interviews.
Do you think that he deserves another shot?
I do.
Well, he went like 68-50 with the Bengals. He went to the playoffs 5 times with Andy Dalton as his quarterback.
Bro, but all people remember, the Bengals stink, they suck, blah, blah, blah. No, bro, he was winning. He won with Carson Palmer. Then came back and won. Did they win enough playoff games? No.
And he didn't have the resources. That's why I thought the Cowboys should.
Without the resources, exactly.
Because the Cowboys would have given him absolutely everything that he needed to succeed. And it hurts to hear that wasn't like a. I think that Jerry Jones is a clown just as much as the next person. But the not even seriously entertaining the idea that somebody could continue to keep the Cincinnati Bengals relevant, having less resources than everybody else. What would happen if you gave them the keys to the kingdom? Like that, and that's just it for me, is that black head coaches aren't given the opportunity to crash the Benz, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
If they had made the playoffs, they may have still fired him. Do you realize that? And the fact
they're really saying it comes down to personality conflicts.
This is an entertainment business. The Miami Dolphins fans are happy. Their players are happy. They're getting better. What more do you want? So now, because you don't like a guy, you're going to fire him. And now you're going to reset. And now you're going to suck. So look, The Chicago Bears just got what they're getting what they deserve for firing a 10-6 Lovie Smith. Tampa Bay had to tank after they fired Raheem Morris. This Miami Dolphins team headed for the cellar. Headed for the cellar, and they're going to get what they deserve until they make it right. And
are the Chargers that much better without Anthony Lynn? Are they that much better?
Nope.
Because you like to put that out there all the time, like the Stafford versus Goff thing. Let's talk about Anthony Lynn. Are they that much better?
Before we get to them, right, let's talk about the fact that Joe Judge is still an NFL head coach.
Without a boss. Right? Didn't his boss just retire, you said?
Yes, yes.
So why are we leaving stuff in the cabinet for the next person who's going to take that job?
Because the Maras like they like Joe Judge. They like what he stands for. They believe in him. They believe in the guy that did this in a game yesterday. It was 3rd and 9. They were on their own 4. And instead of running an offensive play, they did this. They lined up in a flying V formation and quarterback sneaked it on 3rd and 9 from their own 4.
What was his reasoning for that?
I don't know, bro. Does it even matter?
No. That's one of the worst play calls I've ever seen in my life. It feels like you set down your you're playing Madden and you set down your controller and your kid. Hi, Roman, by the way, I hear you in the background. and your kid picks it up and runs a play while you're using the bathroom or something. Because that's really what this is. That's really what this is someone just mashing the buttons. And anybody can do what Joe Judge did in that circumstances.
Yes, bro. It was criminal, dude. If you are a fan of that team, then of the Giants, bro, your frustration level has to be on max. Because remember, he had just come out and said, "This ain't no clown show. Everybody, I've got former players who keep calling me. They want to come back and be part of this organization. They're making more other places." And people went and researched, and it was like, hold up. All these dudes are playing for contenders, making more money, but they want to come back and play for you? Okay. Okay. Nobody believes that, bro.
What is going on with the social ineptitude in the NFL this year? Why can't putting somebody through an extremely strenuous press conference be part of the interview process? Because some of the stuff that you've seen Matt Nagy say and do publicly, the way that Mike Zimmer went out, like the way that they're going to remember him in Minnesota, just being a jerk for absolutely no reason, just being grouchy, like he's a lion with a thorn in his toe.
when you are, there's no way to get that interview process done, because the feeling by people, reporters, and all that stuff, when you first get hired, there is hope, there's optimism, there's all of that. And when you're on the way out, you are stressed, bro, because you're like, bro, my family has to move. Where am I going to work next? All my assistant coaches are gone. These are people I was tasked with taking care of. I didn't do a good enough job. We didn't do a good enough job. Like, it's a lot of stress on the way out. And coaches start behaving real funny, because I talk to players across the league, and I remember when it even happened to my team that they were sitting there doing all the wrong things, dude. They find a way to lose the there's dysfunction going on. They start making new weirdo rules. Like, I remember Jack Del Rio when I was in Jacksonville. We started to lose. The prior season, we were winning. And I think we had gone to the playoffs. He put in new plugs in there. They had upgraded our lockers, all of this stuff. And then we lost back-to-back games. Oh, and then he put ping pong tables in the locker room. So we would go in there on breaks and play ping pong, all that stuff. We lose 2 games in a row. This dude snatches the ping pong tables out. And then we lost 3 or 4. He turned off the electricity to the plugs. We can't charge our phones, can't play music, none of that. Oh, wait, no. We could play music because you have portable speakers still at that point in time. And then he banned the speakers in the locker room. What? How are players going to respond to that?
That sounds like desperate parenting. That doesn't sound like coaching at all.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. And to make it even worse, he didn't even get fired. But it's just outrageous. Like, these are some of the things that coaches do. They start implementing new rules. Dude, be consistent from the time you go in to the time you go out. Because as soon as you start doing stuff like that, players are like, mm-hmm, I see what's coming. You're desperate. And when you get desperate, players like, oh, okay. Oh, he's desperate. Let me start doing what's best for me. Let me make sure I'm putting good film on the table for me. I'm going after that tackle. I'm going after that interception instead of playing that perfect coverage. Mm-mm, buddy.
So give me five guys that you would like to see taken very, very seriously in this hiring cycle. And I am wondering, does that mean that they're, despite the fact that Urban Meyer didn't work out for Jacksonville this year, and college head coaches rarely work out to be, you know, NFL Super Bowl contenders, does that mean that some of the premier college head coaching jobs are up for grabs? Is Jim Harbaugh somebody that we should be talking about? Is Ryan Day somebody we should be talking? I know there's another name that you want to say that I won't say out loud.
Lincoln Riley. But on a serious note, okay. I want to see Leslie Frazier, who is the Bills assistant coach and defensive coordinator, him for absolute one. Like, he is high on the list, but behind Brian Flores, only because Brian Flores showed that he's a more than competent, that he's a good head coach.
A proven commodity, yeah.
Yeah. Tony Brown, the New England Patriots running backs coach, because all of their coaches get jobs, all their assistant coaches. You have T. Martin's a guy who I want to see him get a college job probably first. There is Pep Hamilton. Pep Hamilton deserves a head coaching job.
I can't believe he hasn't had one yet.
Yes. Dude, look at what he did with Justin Herbert in San Diego last year. And look at what he's doing with Davis Mills with the Houston Texans right now. Are you kidding me? Dude, this is insanity. Absolute insanity. This man is not getting a head coaching job. Lovie Smith deserves a head coaching job. I mean, if you look at Deuce Staley, who's been a career assistant, nobody will give him another. Yes, he's the assistant head coach at the Detroit Lions. Head coaching material. Antoine Randall L. These are up-and-coming guys. And you know what is interesting? Who is a guy who flamed out in the NFL, who's coming up in the coaching ranks? Ronald Curry. That's kind of interesting. Okay. And Ken Norton Jr. as well. He might be a little too rough around the edges for some people's liking, but oh well. But so right, is Dan so I'm Campbell.
I'm gonna give you some other names, and you tell me a legitimate consideration for an NFL head coaching job or not. Because you bring up Leslie Frazier, and I tell you what, as somebody who is a Josh Allen fan, I'd rather the Bills lose him than Brian Daboll. But is Brian Daboll somebody that
Brian Daboll should have had a job last year. They actually had to change the rules. They actually had to change the rules. Who was the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills? They actually had to change who is white. So I just don't advocate for black coaches. But Brian Daboll's been a career assistant, been doing a great job. And the only reason why I think he didn't get a job in the last hiring cycle is because the Buffalo Bills went too far in the playoffs and they couldn't interview him. But now they can interview the assistant coaches earlier. So hopefully him and Leslie Frazier both get out.
So what do you think that does for Eric Bieniemy?
Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Did you see what happened to Chauncey Billups when he got hired to Portland?
Yes.
You can believe that's why Eric Bieniemy has not gotten a job, I think.
because of his time at University of Colorado.
His time at other places as coaches, things he said. He may have changed his beliefs on some things, but listen, people coming out and saying these things, I'm not going to say them because I'm not going to try to knock the man's head coaching opportunities, but people would go crazy trying to talk about all the things that he said in private meetings and stuff like that. It would be bad. And then the Colorado thing, even though that was like 30 years ago.
Right. Do you think the Bears take a swing at Ryan Day?
Yes, that's very Bears like to do. But if I were the Bears, I would not. I'm not hiring a college head coach like that. I'm trying to hire Leslie Frazier, Brian Daboll, Flores. Flores would fit in great in Chicago. Great in Chicago. He would turn them into a winner. Especially, but if I'm him, I'm probably going to be pretty careful. I'm like, I need a quarterback. Like, you're not just going to just sink me in another position. And that's the thing that is crazy, because black head coaches have such a hard time getting jobs, right? But then you have to be choosy. Because imagine getting put in a situation like, oh boy, and who was that in Arizona 2-3 years ago? Oh, 4 years ago now.
Oh, Steve Wilks?
Yes. Yes, where you're put in a position where you're just destined to be fired. Adam Culley down in Houston. Dude, they give you a head coaching job just to know. Dude, they Byron Scott you.
Yeah.
Where you get a job, but listen, you're just placeholding until the real guy gets the job.
And the NFL doesn't have, they don't have an Alvin Gentry. Like in the NBA, you could bring somebody in who's on the outside to take over as an interim head coach if you want to make a move. Interim head coaches in the NFL almost always come up from within the
You have to have some continuity with the system, because you can't just put in a new system in the middle of the season.
Right. And so that I think that you might actually have some guys out there that would be willing to play an Alvin Gentry role, like a Marvin Lewis, to be able to step in every time you fire somebody midseason to help you just with some leadership finish out the year. I think that Marvin Lewis is a guy who you know, would swallow his pride to be in a position where he actually is an NFL head coach in that way. But let's get back to this Lincoln Riley thing. Because you name dropped somebody who just shook up the college football world by leaving Norman, Oklahoma for Southern California. They just announced his fully assembled staff down there at USC. You really think that he would consider making the leap to the NFL if one of these teams came calling?
Why wouldn't I consider that? Why? I mean, he just left Lincoln. I'm sorry. He just left Norman, Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley did. You think that there's loyalty there? You think that he won't leave to go coach the Raiders and not have to recruit and get the same contract? They just gave, what was his name? 10 years, 100 million. You think Mark Davis won't look there and look him straight in the eye and say, I'll do it again. I didn't have to pay the rest of that money. I'll do it again. I promise you I will.
Speaking of the Raiders, there's one name we haven't brought up yet, and I don't want to get laughed at, but it's a unique situation in which he currently has a head coaching job without a contract buyout, and that's Chip Kelly. You're already nodding your head. No? There's no chance.
There's not no chance. Because he did have some winning seasons in Philly, but damn, bro. Dude, who is he going to bring in to be his defensive coordinator?
I don't know, but you know who the backup quarterback is in Oakland, right?
In Vegas, but yeah, Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
But
in Oakland.
Marcus on the last year of his deal, he'll be somewhere else next year.
Even if Chip Kelly's in there?
Yes.
Because they've been looking for a way to reunite.
He will be, Marcus Mariota will be somewhere where he can Ryan Tannehill somebody else. He'll go to Washington. He'll go to New York. He'll go to Miami. He'll go somewhere where he can Ryan Tannehill somebody else.
Well, Seattle Seahawks might have an opening here.
Exactly. Exactly.
Might have multiple openings.
Exactly. So, yeah, Chip, I got nothing against Chip. I just think he'll be hard pressed to get another NFL head coaching job. And honestly, it would send me through the roof. It would. And I like Chip. But in terms of earning another opportunity, because he was set up for failure in San Francisco. I will 100% agree with that. He was the Byron Scott of that situation. That roster was atrocious. One of the worst rosters ever assembled. And then he goes to UCLA. He's having success there now. I don't know if he had gone to the Natty, if he had gone to the playoffs, you know, won 10 games, a couple seasons, then you could understand that.
Does Chip Kelly have a job in 2 weeks?
Damn. Yes. Yes. Okay. Because who do you get to replace him?
Brian Flores?
No, he ain't going to college, bro. He ain't going to
college. I hate hearing that. I really hate hearing that. That once you've tested the waters of the NFL, that you would never.
No. Some guys,
the whirlpool.
Some guys do. They prefer college. I'm saying that there are certain guys who prefer the NFL because they don't have to recruit. Recruiting is completely changed. They don't have to deal with the transfer portal every damn year. Like, players are more locked in and you have more control because they're under contract.
Yeah, I just feel like in the existence of the portal and free agency, being in LA would be a heck of a job. Around in the LA area would be a heck of a job.
Yes, yes. So there are going to be a lot of people who want that job. But I'm not surprised though that on a side note that the Vikings fired Mike Zimmer. I'm not. He did not make the playoffs this year. Their collection of talent is silly. They have all pros on both sides of the ball. Both sides of the ball. And an analytics monster at quarterback. He's a decent quarterback, but boy, analytics, there's no quarterback that analytics love more than Kirk Cousins. Only senior to Jimmy Garoppolo. So
yeah. Yeah. And so what that should tell you is it's somebody's fault. It's somebody's fault that they're not getting two more wins every year than they have now. So you got to put that somewhere. And
yeah.
That falls on Mike Zimmer. And I feel like if Mike Zimmer had a run kind of like Ken Wisenhunt did with the Arizona Cardinals back in the day, where the two sides can part knowing that you probably maximize this and it's time to see if somebody else can elevate it.
Yep. All right. Tonight, the national championship. Well, oh, wait, hold on. Oh, my God. Before I totally forgot about last night. Oh, my God. How did my brain blow up? Chargers, Raiders last night.
So you pulled a Brandon Staley?
Oh, my God, bro. Okay, so which was worse last night? Brandon Staley going for it on 4th-and-1 on his own, like, 20-yard line. Or calling timeout, which then got the Raiders to go kick a field goal.
The first one you're talking about happened in the first quarter, right?
First or second quarter.
Yeah, so much happened in that game that I think that early mistakes, even though I've seen a lot of people on social media saying that, like, no, it really came down to this. No, that one decision then changes the trajectory of every decision that's made for the rest of the game. The truth of the matter is, the Chargers put together one of the most improbable comebacks I've ever seen. And they did it by converting 6 fourth downs, which is the most that has been converted in an NFL game in over 3 decades. And in the end, and I've seen people arguing both sides, your guy Josh Pat said that it makes complete sense in that situation to call a timeout to get your best personnel package in. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it. But what it really comes down to is at the end of the game, trusting your galaxy brain over the one thing that is the world ender, and that's the ticking clock.
You could hear Derek Carr asking the defense through the TV screen, "You guys aren't going to call timeout, are you?" He asked the defense that while he was under center. They were going to give up. They had given up, like they were just going to let the time run out.
Which they both should have, and I don't care. I don't care. And if you're a football guy, if you think that ties are kissing your sister, I don't care. Your job is to get your team to the playoffs. There was an inherent risk that you would not make the playoffs. Inherent risk going into that overtime that you would not make the playoffs. Those two coaches should have been able in that moment to swallow their pride and say, let's both get in. Because that's your job. I don't care if it was a home. You gave that home crowd in Las Vegas
a show.
You gave them, they got their money's worth. You know you're going to the playoffs regardless.
I was hoping the kick got blocked, dude. I was hoping the kick got blocked and run back for a touchdown. That I was, because the idea that you would risk that is insanity to me. What do you think Bill Belichick would have done in that situation?
If Bill Belichick was on both sides of the ball, if Bill Belichick was coaching against Bill Belichick, that overtime doesn't happen. Nothing happens. Not overtime. Not a thing. If it's Bill Belichick and any other coach, I just think that what you saw was the inability of grown men to swallow their pride. A guaranteed playoff spot was sitting there, and all you had to do is humble yourself, look into the eyes of another man, and say, let's both go. That's it.
See,
and you would have had talking heads talking about it while you prepared to go to the playoffs.
Here is what I would have done. I would have done what the Raiders did at the beginning of the playoff, at the beginning of overtime. I would have just run the ball. They threw it first, and then they got to close to midfield. Well, actually, no. They went down and they tried to score, which was the right thing to do. But don't be too aggressive, all of those things. And then when the Chargers come down and kick a field goal, at that point, all bets are off. All bets are off. And then once the Raiders got back to around the 50, I'm packing it in, homie. I'm packing it in. We tried. It's over. You know what I mean?
And the dumbest thing about it is you have all these people that are like, well, the players just aren't wired that way. They're not wired that way.
Yes, they would have been fine.
All across the NFL in week 18, starters were sitting because the only thing that matters is the playoffs.
Bro.
It's an unprecedented situation to be there, but if you can guarantee that you're going to the playoffs, you guarantee that you're going to the playoffs. You do it because you can give your fans the experience of going to the playoffs. You can deliver for your owner the revenue of having gone to the playoffs. And at the end of the day, no one that roots for you is going to be upset that you went to the playoffs. Would the city of Pittsburgh have been upset?
Yes.
Whatever. I'm married to a Steelers fan. I'm married into a Steelers family. I got a ton of friends that are Steelers fans. I respect the culture. I respect the 2 decades plus of Ben Roethlisberger coming out of that 2003 draft. Incredible run. They are going to go out so sad next week. Next week in Kansas City. Nobody wants to see that.
Nope. You would have much rather seen whatever the matchup would have been. Chargers, Raiders, whoever it would have been. Dude.
If it said, like, if you don't take the field, if you do not take the field, if neither team takes the field, even for the game, you are guaranteed to go to the playoffs. What would the prudent thing to be in that situation?
But you got to play, though. You got to play. I would have played it out because you have to play. But at the point in time where you get into that overtime situation, we tried. It's cool. I'm saying, I would have played to win until we get to that point. At that point in overtime, once the Raiders got the ball back, I'm packing it in. Nothing. I'm taking no more risk. I've already exhausted the risk factor.
All right. So who got screwed the most yesterday? Would you say Saints, Chargers, Cardinals?
How would the Cardinals have gotten screwed?
I think they screwed themselves. It's yes. possible to screw yes.
yourself. Oh, okay. I was about to say, how did they get screwed? The only people that screwed them was them. I would say the biggest team that got screwed yesterday was, actually, I was going to say the Indianapolis Colts, but they screwed themselves.
Two and a half weeks ago, after they worked the Cardinals over, we were talking about the Colts being the one team you didn't want to play in the playoffs. We had the same attitude about the New England Patriots when they played that game in Buffalo where they only ran the ball.
They don't look that good right now.
Now we got Patriots Bills round three.
You love to see
it. I don't know how I feel about it. I know that either team that wins that game is going to be either N'Keal Harry or Josh Allen is going to get the second round of playoffs. And I root for both of those guys.
But you would rather it be Josh Allen because N'Keal Harry might be inactive in those games.
They need him for his run blocking. I cannot wait for him to play somewhere else, by the way. But yeah, no, I do think that's a rough first round draw. I would have much rather. What do you think of this now that we're 2 years into it, of the two seed not getting the bye?
I actually like it. Yeah. I like the better teams playing. The idea that, yeah, I don't mind it. I hate it for other reasons, for logistical reasons, player health, player safety, all of those. I hate it for that. But as far as just brand of football, no, you get better teams playing. I love it.
All right. So a couple other things, because just hearkening back to some of the takes that you've had on this show over the course of the last year, Tyler Huntley. I see Ravens fans on social media begging for Greg Roman to get fired. I don't think that's a good idea, but I'm not as close to the situation as they are. Obviously, they had more injuries than anybody I've ever seen. And I'm throwing the Titans in there.
I have no comment on the Raiders situation or Tyler Huntley. I have been, after the way Tyler Huntley played in yesterday, when he had a chance to validate everything that I said about the Ravens should move on from Lamar Jackson, trade him away, and hire him. Nope.
So you're not going to throw Greg Roman under the bus just to make your take more accurate?
Nope.
I'm impressed. Here we go with another one of your season-long takes. How much does this game, home game for the Rams against the Cardinals, even though I don't think the Cardinals fans will travel the way the 49ers fans did. How much does this game matter to the way that you will view Matt Stafford, or does he need to do more than just beat the Cardinals?
He needs to do more than just beat the Cardinals, dude. Have you seen his roster? They traded away a second and third round pick for Von Miller. They traded away a first round pick to get you there in Matthew Stafford. They traded away two first round picks for Jalen Ramsey, which feels almost worth it at this point. They've mortgaged their future for you because you were the thing that's supposed to get them over the hump. And you got Odell Beckham Jr. Like, this is a star-studded cast. So if they lose to the Cardinals, it's going to be some smoke in the internet city, buddy. Because I keep asking the question, how much better are they with Matthew Stafford than Jared Goff?
Right.
And yes, they are two wins better. They're two wins better. But in a season where they played one more game, two wins better in one more game. And now they got to go win. They won a playoff game last year with Matthew Stafford after Wofford got hurt. So what do you want me to do?
I got two more NFL questions for you.
Okay.
One, this is going to feel like I'm being a homer. I don't care. one of the records that I love the most was Anquan Boldin's rookie reception record. It got broken yesterday by Jaylen Waddle, and it happened in game 18.
Doesn't count. 17, doesn't count. 18.
So in your mind, it doesn't count. Okay.
No. It counts in a different way. They're both records.
Okay. Yeah, I just
it's like a OJ rushing for 2,000 yards in 14 games versus dudes doing it in 16 games. Right. It ain't the same.
Okay, so then on that track, knowing how beat up TJ Watt was this year.
21 and a half sacks, that's stupid.
Right. And he was. Didn't he miss time? He missed time, right?
Yes.
Okay. So to me, that one, I feel like I validate that one more than the Jaylen Waddle one. What I think doesn't matter. I just was curious what you thought.
No, I'm sorry. TJ Watt finished with 22 and a half because he had one yesterday. He had 21 and a half coming into the game.
So then he's tied with Strahan for the record.
Yeah.
Which there's an asterisk on that Strahan one too.
Yeah.
If we're really getting into the fact that Brett Favre gave him that.
Yeah.
And I love Michael Strahan, but I will never forget that one. So then there's a third one that happened yesterday, and there might be more, but these are the three that I was paying the most attention to. Tom Brady moved Tom Brady out of third place all time for most passing yards in a season. Now, he did it in 17 games. However, he did it 10 years after the last time he did it at 44 years old.
I don't care about that. It's the fact that he moved himself out of third place. So I don't care.
There's no offense to be taken. It's not like 34-year-old Tom Brady is going to be mad at 44-year-old Tom Brady. Did you see Tom Brady get Rob Gronkowski paid
yesterday? Love to see it. Love to see it. Love to see
it. If you're Antonio Brown and you're watching that, what mental gymnastics do you do to prove to yourself?
Dude, I can't imagine the mental gymnastics that a crazy person would do. Because guess what? Had he been there, he'd have got his $1 million too in incentives.
Okay. And my last question is, two of the biggest names in the NFL are returning for the playoffs.
King Henry.
Yes, King Henry, but they do have the week one bye, and J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt returns to the Arizona Cardinals. They were 7-0 with him and 4-6 without him.
Is Cliff Kingsbury still the head coach?
He is.
Okay. Well, then that's why they've lost on the back half of the season, because that's what he does. So I do not expect Arizona to win a playoff game. Do not.
Okay. That's,
it feels like it would be more of an upset for them to win than, would you agree with that?
Well, they are 8-1 on the road. This game is on the road, and they did beat the Rams on the road. So I wouldn't be surprised, but with the way that they've been playing at this point of the season, I think there are a lot of people that would be.
Dude, if they beat the Rams, Sean McVay gonna have some questions about Sean McVay. And if the Rams beat them, Cliff Kingsbury going to have some answers, buddy. He going to have some answers because he may be on the way out too, because he has 1 year left on his contract, and that might be it, homie. That could be it, because they're not going to fire him, I don't think, but who the hell knows?
True. All right, that's it. That's all I got for NFL stuff. Right. I had a lot of stuff on my mind. I wanted to see you.
Okay, perfect. All right, tonight we got the national championship game. Georgia versus. Yes, I'm nervous.
I've never bet you real money before.
Yeah.
I'm 100% sure I'm going to lose.
I'm not, because I got Georgia. Georgia's a 2.5-point favorite, and Alabama doesn't lose when they're underdogs like this. I mean, like, to go back, because Alabama losing in the regular season, that doesn't even faze me anymore, because it happens rarely. And it's like, you know, Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel, it was Texas A&M this year. Just something weird. It's like an outlier. Or LSU, where they had one of the historically greatest teams of all time. Tua had been hurt. It just got to be extreme circumstances. And then the last time I remember Alabama actually losing a game that didn't feel like that they could have won was when Clemson whooped the shit out of them, Trevor Lawrence's freshman year, and they beat him by like 30 in the national championship game. That's like outrageous, right? But it's going to be, I mean, and it's typically taken historically great quarterback play to win. Like a quarterback playing out of his mind to beat him. And he had to be an NFL guy for the most part. But this year, bro, Stetson Bennett, walk on. Dude, the only way that they win, I feel like, is if they change to JT Daniels at halftime and then just flip the Alabama script on him. That's the only way.
Oh, man. How
I feel like I made a bet that I'm going to lose.
How frustrating would it be as a Pac-12 guy to be watching the second half of that game, watching Bryce Young play against JT Daniels?
I would blame USC. That would be all USC's fault.
That both of those guys should have been there, right? Both
yeah. Yep.
Well, one of them was.
Yeah. Or at least one of them, one of them should committed. Still be there. One of right. Well, one of no, they both actually committed. One actually showed up in JT yeah. Daniels. And then Bryce Young.
Year, yeah.
Yeah. So, bro, I don't. Mm-mm. Nope.
Okay. So looking at this game, it's just more Southeast Conference dominance, but not just Southeast Conference, the Southeastern United States in general, because you have to throw a Florida State national championship in there, and you have to throw a Clemson national championship in there.
Nah, they're in a whole nother conference. I'm not giving no Southeast nothing, bro. They are
Clemson, South Carolina is a 3-hour drive from Athens, Georgia. It's not. I'm saying
they're an ACC
area
team. SEC doesn't even claim them dudes. They're like, oh,
I'm just talking about. I'm talking about the region geography? Of the United States. Yeah, I'm talking about the geography. I'm talking about geography because I mean, if it like let's say it was flipped and it was like USC 7 out of the last 10 years, Cal got one, and then San Diego State had two of them. And you're going to say, like, no, San Diego State shouldn't count regionally because it's two different conferences. Like, that's what we're talking about in the Southeastern United States is, like, all it's all bunched up together. And then I look at all these people who pointed out the fact that the FCS has a true playoff. And, like,
they still keep getting the same national championship in North Dakota State. Listen, right. I would, but it that doesn't matter because we would rather watch it. We would rather watch the playoff than
yeah for entertainment.
Even if
purposes.
We get the same champion, we would rather watch it and hope something different happens.
I agree. I do not. You're seeing people like start to long for the BCS, and it reminds me of like,
oh God,
all those
no.
people.
Mm-mm. I'm deaf to the BCS. I will never, under any circumstances, want that piece of shit to come back.
How bad of a take is this? When I see people call for a return to the BCS, for a formula to pick us our two best teams, I look at it the same way as when I see people on social media that are like, we should actually all have communism. Like, I'm like, do you guys not remember what happens every time a whole country goes communist? Like, do we not have like a historical record?
Exactly, bro.
Like, you might not like capitalism, but are you sure that's the way?
Communism is the one that you want?
Yeah, to me, like BCS and communism are like
Yes, they are similar. They are similar because you let some stupid computers control the game instead of actual humans deciding, but we've also learned that humans are biased as well.
So just to get it on record, final score prediction for tonight. Because you can make
Alabama
a prediction
30
that you made with me.
Alabama 30, Georgia 21. Actually, Georgia will for sure kick some field goals. So I'm going to go 20 to 31, Bama.
31-20, Alabama beats Georgia.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say I like it. I like your prediction, although I will be actively rooting for Georgia the entire game. I want to see my guy Keely Ringo get a national championship.
You are loyal to the soil, bro. You are.
I am. And at the same time, I've always kind of liked Georgia, going back to not that far, but going back to the Stafford, Sean Moreno, Leonard Pope, like all those teams, AJ Green, really, really enjoyed watching those teams and started paying attention to Georgia football after that. And it'd just be nice to get a different champion.
See, that part of it doesn't bother me at all. That part of it doesn't bother me. Oh, we need a new champion. That part does not even come into my brain, bro. All right. The last thing up. Ralph wants term limits for people in the government if they make promises. So explain this to me. So do you think because I do believe that there should be term limits, because I think that de-incentivizes people from being career politicians and just consistently doing what is going to get them reelected. And I think that you would have more people in there who will be like, F it. I don't need re-election because, I can't be reelected. So let me do what's right.
Right. I agree. So we're a democratic republic, right? We're supposed to be majority rule. There are several polls out there, a lot of national data supporting the idea that Americans overwhelmingly, like almost more than any other contentious issue in the history of American politics, want to see term limits placed on people in the House of Representatives and in the Senate.
What do you think the chance of them voting for that are?
Because those are
the people that have to vote to agree to it.
And that's super depressing. That's super depressing because they're supposed to be representing their constituency. So, like, I'll just give you a few states that have been polled on this. Georgia, which is a purple state, right? They have two Democratic senators, but for the most part, throughout history, they've been represented by conservatives, even back when being a Democrat was the more conservative thing. 80% of people in Georgia support term limits. Another purple state in Colorado, which actually has a pretty decently cooperative government. 81% of people in Colorado support term limits. 77% of Florida, Idaho, which only has conservatives, and that's it. 85% of people in Idaho, 85% of people in Louisiana, 75% of people in Maryland, 70 in Michigan, like Missouri, 82. There's all these states that are way up over 3 out of every 4 people want to see term limits placed on these people, and it's not happening. And we actually have a United States senator who promised that he would put a term limit on himself. His name is Ron Johnson, and he represents Wisconsin. And I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but he pledged that he would not run for a third term.
And what is Ron Johnson doing?
He just announced that he's running for it.
He's like, yo, this is a good gig, baby. I keep this for a long, long time. I'm getting my pockets laced, making sure I'm doing the right thing by Wisconsin's. All right, bro. Hey, dude, if you knew that you needed to keep your job, your benefits, you didn't have to go out in the private sector, all of this stuff, and wouldn't you try to keep that job? And wouldn't you do whatever you needed to keep it? Now imagine if I just believe in the goodness of people in general. I know that there are a lot of bad people, but I think that that more people, if they knew that they were on the way out, because more people have a, well, fuck it, on the way out when they know the job is going to be ending, than people do who are like, oh man, I need this job to make my mortgage, man. I don't know what's next. I don't want the uncertainty. This is comfortable. You know what I mean? I don't want the change. Yeah.
Right. In the United States, the age of retirement is supposed to be 67, right? Keeps getting bumped up a little bit as life expectancy gets more and more and more. I don't see myself stopping working at 67 years old. Then again, I don't really do physically taxing work. But I could see myself working into my early 70s. But the idea that we have so many senators and congressmen, like Nancy Pelosi is 81, George.
Yep.
She's 81 years old. And I don't mean to be ageist, but if there's an age of retirement for a reason, and if it's someone that's supposed to be hooked into the zeitgeist of what the American public wants, we've had people in charge of American politics for a very long time.
Who don't understand social media, bro.
I mean, like, think about how mad college football fans get when you hire somebody who doesn't have a Twitter account or can't run social media at all. They can't do what it takes to keep up with the times. These are the people that are actually making our laws, and they have to have staff running their stuff. Even Ted Cruz is out here having his interns like porn on Christmas.
He liked that don't porn. Know what they're Stop doing. It. He liked the porn.
But so it just brings me back to this. Ron Johnson says he's not going to run for a third term. He does it anyway. Assuming that these politicians are never, ever going to vote for the thing that the overwhelming consensus of Americans wants, which is term limits. Assuming that they're never going to actually vote that into place, should we have a system in place that's sort of like a self-destruct rule where you as an individual politician, even in an attempt to win, even in an attempt to win your race, you say like, look, I will surrender my power at the end of two terms. I promise. You actually have to opt into something that will disqualify you from running for that same office ever again, to where it's not up to you, much like the presidency. It's not up to the president whether or not they're going to serve a third term because it's just not allowed. Can you opt into that being a law for yourself, and would they do it?
Hell no, they wouldn't do it, bro. Hell no. Like, you would have to get that as a part of their election. That's the only way. Like, it must already be voted upon. No way, bro. No way. And honestly, this is sad and depressing to even talk about, because the idea of doing the right thing for the people that voted for you has become just so secondary, and it's weak.
Now, I think ageism is a bummer, and there's some of it in me. I'll be honest. When I see somebody out there like Joe Paterno, who felt like he could barely speak at the end of his, tenure at Penn State. I feel like
it's because the guilt was eating him inside. That's why. Ugh. He was dead inside.
I hate even asking this question, but should there be an age limit?
No, but there should be a competency test before you even get elected. Like, do you know enough of the rules of the government to hold this position? Like, there should be an SAT test for politics. Like, that you even understand the basics of, civics.
Okay, so are you joining the crowd of all these people that say, like, Joe Biden should take, like, a mental acuity test of some kind?
Him, everybody, every single person who wants to get in government, that there's a basic competency test for you to understand at least the branches of the government, how they work, things that you can do, things that you cannot do, just a basic competency test.
I genuinely, I have misgivings about whether somebody should be able to run for re-election if they're going to cross 80 years old during their term.
Okay.
Alabama has an 87-year-old senator.
I'm okay
Iowa
with that.
Has an 88-year-old senator.
I'm okay.
Mitch McConnell, 1 month from now, is going to turn 80 years
no,
old.
No. I'm saying I'm okay with you saying that. Like, I'm not going to fight you on that. Okay, cool. Dude, I'd be so easy in government. It would be easy. Like, because if you're married, you're like, that ain't worth fighting about. All right.
If you were running for United States Senate, would you have the ability to forego the basic human desire to accrue and hold on to power by introducing legislation to get people on the record on whether or not they supported term limits? Or are you like, hey, I'm in the system now?
Bro, I would do the right thing by the people who voted for me, even if that is, the wrong thing for me, even if that's the wrong thing for me, I am going to, do the right thing by the people. Speaking of that, on our way out. Little piece of news in case you missed it today. Jackson Dart in the transfer portal. Caleb Williams going to USC.
Oh my gosh.
Yep,
what?
Yep. All right. Peace out. Catch you guys next episode.
Oh my gosh.